from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. This so much later, I still am not sure what watermelon sugar is, and if I should blush when I hear it, or like if not. And I actually have not Googled how to make, because I'm sure you could make that. I'm sure it's pretty easy. Though I do also, just a full disclosure, one of my least favorite artificial flavors is artificial watermelon flavor. Unless it's under correct, no, I don't, trying to think of what context, maybe a hard candy. But any other thing, you know, like I like the flavor of watermelon, but not artificial watermelon. Other artificial flavors I love, just artificial watermelon, artificial strawberry. But that's probably too much to tell you already, because you're like, what in the hey, is this, wait, did I turn it, put the right podcast on? And I'd say you did. Because that's why I'm rambling, because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast. It puts you to sleep. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, everybody, before we move on here, I just want to let you know, Sleep With Me is supposed to be as safe a place as I can make it, a welcoming place. It comes from a place of growing and learning how to be empathetic and compassionate. And that's where the show exists, because I've been there and I know how it feels. And I want to be here with you, I guess, in that sense, in the compassionate sense, if you can't fall asleep or if you just need help falling asleep. So that's why the show exists. But I can't, you know, I'm just here to be here while you know that part. So if you need help right now, there's links to organizations you can connect with right now in our show notes. It's also about supporting members of our community, seeing Black Lives Matter with our actions. So there's links to organizations you can connect with to be a part of change in our show notes. Thanks so much. And here's a couple of sponsors that enable us to be here twice a week. You can find them at our sponsors page as well and see me using the products and in videos and stuff. Thanks. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about like supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? It's but if, to get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. All right, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear is where I pop my peas and I raise my voice in name of the people that supported the sponsors, tag the sponsors on social media posts, send them emails, let them know they heard about them on the show. And believe it or not, this really works. I keep saying this over and over again. That's why I'm so excited, because it works. It makes it guarantees the podcast is going to be free for everybody. So I want to thank Jamie and Adam, who got some Brooklyn and bedding. Holy moly. And Emily, who signed up for Headspace. Thank you, Jamie, Adam, and Emily, for supporting the sponsors. I'm definitely looking for anybody. It's more and more people who signed up for Headspace and the Brooklyn and free trial. So if you sign up for one of them, let me know. You can see me using the sponsors products at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors, and you could even sign up for the supporter zone there, and there may be some surprises over there, so check that out. Thank you, Jamie, Adam, and Emily. And so that's the first part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. So if you need somebody to connect with, some resources right now, there's links to organizations you could connect with. You can contact text lines and helplines right now in our show notes. Please use those. It's also about supporting the members of our community and saying Black Lives Matter with our actions, being a part of the solution, reducing harm. And there's going to be links to organizations that you could connect with right in our show notes. And the last part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, or I encourage supporting. And we've been doing local, like what can you do locally in your own community? And Carl W., the legend, has sent me a list of stuff. And the first thing he said is food pantries. They're a great place to volunteer. They usually need help just with, not just with distribution, but prepping for distribution. So there's a lot of flexible options. And a lot of them are not as active on social media because the food pantries have been around, or food banks, for so long. So they might even need tech help. So it's just one place to get started with food pantries and food banks locally. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mr. Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W., the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the mystery bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie and Jennifer, these are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. That could be thoughts on your mind, things you're thinking about from the past, present, or future, feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally. Anything that's just there emotionally or physical sensations, or it could be changes in schedule or time or temperature. You know, stuff. It could be whatever it is. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'm here. I'm going to be here for you to take your mind off of stuff and to keep you company so that you can fall asleep or at least be comfortable. Or be kind of comforted by me. I say kind of comforted. I say barely comforted. But, like the old translucent blanket. So you say, Scoots, what's a translucent blanket? And I'd say, well, I should probably get to the podcast intro. Just something I just thought of as an analogy for Sleep With Me. It's a real thing, and it's made, oh boy, is it the latest thing or what? We did a Kickstarter, we did a Go-Go, we did it all in my imagination, and we launched it. And then I forgot about it. And then I just thought of it for the first time. So probably involves some time travel. And I should probably come back to this translucent blanket thing. But yeah, so what I'm going to do, hopefully I'll remember that. But before that, I was like, oh, I could talk about artificial flavors. So maybe we'll find a way to mash it up, or I'll just forget about it. But so what I'm going to do, and you just witnessed one of the things I do, but the first thing I do is I send my voice to you across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, full of imperfection and a vibration that's hopefully comforting to the people it can comfort. And creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders. So that was like, I think I've had two already, or one pointless meander and one's guaranteed with your translucent blanket advertisement, pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. And what that means is I'm going to, you know, my voice is a little bit different. I go off topic. I start to talk about something. I get mixed up. I double back. I lose all meaning. That's what they said. The first reviewers that we sent it out to, we said, okay, we're sending you this just so you know, so you can give us a good review. Companies never really are straightforward. They send you something. There's a note in the box. Hey, please review us, which I understand from making a content business. But you see, like, might be. I guess you can't do that. You say, hey, I guess they do that, but it didn't work with translucent blankets. People said we couldn't get any. I forgot what the bad review was. I already said, but superfluous. They said this blanket's superfluous. I said, that's right. It's an extra blanket. That's the exact definition of a superfluous blanket. Right or no? Okay, but what I'm going to do is I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. So if you're new, there's a couple important things to know that you kind of already have gotten a sampling of. This is a podcast that you don't really listen to. Just like a superfluous blanket, it's like a superfluous. I like that word. It comes out of my mouth sometimes. And when you're like, they say, what's that? It's a superfluous blanket. It's superfluous. And maybe we add an extra burr for the season, you know, or when you're watching Hamilton with an H, not Hamilton. That's the ham-based Hamilton parody that does not exist either, just like this blanket. But it's superfluous, like an extra blanket, you don't use it on your bed. It's not your main blanket. It's not your backup blankets for if you get chilly. It's not your warm weather blankets. It may not even be your couch blanket, or as they call it in the last 10 or 20 years, a throw. Though I prefer, like, I don't need a blanket most of the time when I'm on the couch, unless I'm trying to take a nap. But this blanket is superfluous, and that's why it's translucent. Now, it's not 100% translucent, so you can find it. Otherwise, you'd say, what are you in the business of selling millions of blankets? And they say, yeah, the invisible blanket. You don't buy it once. If you like it, that'd be a tough thing. You'd have to really love the invisible blanket to keep buying it over and over again as you lose them. And then whatever, we'd have to be licensed and bonded by some great company or underwritten, because people be tripping. They say, I tripped over my invisible blanket pile. But we solved that. We tried that out in another universe. Sold a lot of blankets. We did. That's why I'm banned from that universe. But this blanket is translucent. It's not transparent. So I just want to, you know, whatever, rules of earth, of this earth, just so you know, it's not transparent. It's translucent. And it's for uses when you barely need it. Just like, but it's there. When it's there, it's handy. I don't know. You know, a couch blanket, some people, and I know there's couch blanket users, but then there's people like me that, just like you listen to this podcast, you say, well, it's on my couch. It's thrown there. I mean, I actually love my couch blanket because it's made from a sleeping bag material. I don't know if anybody else does. And definitely if I had anyone in my life that wanted something to look good, they'd say that blanket does not, that's not a throw. That's like a sleeping bag blanket. And I say, yeah, it's nice. I love it. But it's like an extra blanket. So the podcast is kind of here just like that. You say, well, you kind of barely listen to it. And then, I don't know, I guess maybe it's not like that at all. But it kind of is. It's the same spirit. It's there when you need it. but you don't have to pay it any mind. The blanket, I can't, I mean, I guess in this case, I will speak for all throws and couch blankets, superfluous blankets, transparent blankets, invisible blankets. By the way, they don't work covering you up. For some, you can't use it like in the movies where you just cover yourself and you're invisible. People see right through the blanket and they see you. Unfortunately, I found that out the hard way. When they said, finally, we're going to find out who this fool who sold us billions of invisible blankets. And they said, we could see you right there under the pile of blankets. And they said, well, in Harry Potter and all the other stuff, this always worked. Every movie, I've never seen a movie where an invisible blanket gave away the person hiding under it. Oh, but I was supposed to be talking about something of substance. So just don't listen to me. Like, barely kind of listen. In the blankets, they don't mind. I mean, some of them do. But on the most part, they say, that's what I'm here for. I'm an on-call blanket. That's how they view it. Couch blankets, throws. Even blankets in closets, they're not really, they don't have any resentments or anything. They just say, well, I'm ready. When you need me, I'm ready. Because also blankets have, they have memories shorter than a fish, except for the memories that are like part of their DNA, which is being ready for blanketing or being made into a fort or a cape or, you know, used in performances. So that's what they say. I'm ready. When you hear, oh, what were you talking? Did you ask me a question or did you need me? I'm ready. That's the conversation. Oh, that's another book I'll have coming out one day. Conversations with Blankets. Really good. Okay. But so I'm trying to explain what the podcast is. So just barely listen to me like a cloud or blank. Yeah. I think I've blanketing this with blanket metaphors. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I'm not really here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. I'm here to distract you, to be your friend in the deep dark night, or your companion, or your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your boar bra, whatever you're comfortable with, and keep you company, and tell you a story or talk to you in the beginning of the show as you fall asleep. So, and then if you can't sleep, that's why the shows are an hour, plenty of time to drift off. But if you can't sleep, you know I'm going to be here to keep you company. Or if you need me during the day, I'm here. Or if you say, well, I got 12 hours of coding or 12 hours of applying, you know, undercoat, I say, don't worry, you know, but you can listen to sleep with me. So those are the first two things if you're new. The third thing is most people probably that get to this podcast don't like it when they first start listening. And not everybody sticks around, but most of the people it works for, though I do get emails, people saying it worked for me in the first try, or I understood the style of the show right away. But most people, it takes two or three tries to get used to the podcast. Because it's different and because I'm an acquired taste, and you may not acquire a taste for me. Just like I said at the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary part. I know I never acquired the taste for the artificial flavors of strawberry or watermelon. While I love real strawberry and real watermelon. No, I enjoy real strawberry and real watermelon. Sorry, I had to take that back. That's a big, strong word, love. Like blueberries, love blueberries. Strawberries, what was the other one? Watermelon, really like them. Love in the right context. I just alienated two of the, I don't know, those fruits or vegetables, because then people say, well, that's a vegetable, actually. So whether watermelons and strawberries I also alienated two artificial flavors. Sorry about that. It's just, it's not you, it's me. I'm trying not to alienate the new listeners. So just give the show a few tries. That's what the tons and tons of listeners say, and see how it goes. The other things that throw new people off is the structure of the show. Things that throw people off about the podcast, my voice, my meanders, that the podcast barely ever goes anywhere. that you don't need to listen to me, my mild attempts at humor, my humor-like interludes, my strained metaphors, the fact that, you know, I don't know my rear from an idiom. So those are some of the things. Also, structure can, as another thing people feel strongly about. And the structure's built so the podcast can be here. And just as over the years, this is the way the show has evolved, so that it can benefit the most a number of people. So it starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel seen and welcome in the deep, dark night. If you're sleepless, if you're lonely, if you're looking for someplace with a goofball to take your mind off of stuff. Then there's like listener support and show support. And sponsor stuff. And that's just so the podcast can be here for you. And that's like around 4 or 6 minutes. Then there's the intro, which we're in now. And the intro is usually around 20 minutes of me over-explaining what the podcast is and going off topic like you've witnessed so far. And that can really throw new people off because they expect a podcast to get started right away or get to the story. And the reason it doesn't is so I can ease you into bedtime. So it can give you some distance between the daytime and the sleep time. And regular listeners can start to wind down. Because the idea is, at least with Sleep With Me, is it doesn't put you to sleep right away. It helps you wind down, gives you something to barely pay attention to. Ideally, when you're starting out, while you're winding down, doing other stuff, or getting ready for bed. Then the story starts, and then the next thing you know, you're asleep, or you don't notice. Like, that's the ideal. The ideal thing is I ease you into bedtime, and then you never notice me, and you fall asleep. Like, you forget you're listening, which is easy with this show. Like, after you listen to it 2 or 3 times, you say, what did Scoot say? I don't know, I forgot. That's the number one conversation about Sleep With Me with people that listen. Both people, two people in their lives listen, or even that, like partner that doesn't listen says, what was Scooch talking about last night? I don't know. I don't remember. Blueberry? Maybe blueberries. He may have gone on one of his tangents about, you know, berries and using berries to start every word, or he might have talked about blueberry and cereal. I don't know. I don't remember. That's me hitting a home run and a touchdown grand slam with a spike serve and a twirly, with a twirl at the end and then dunking it and then doing like some sort of dance, like where I'm signing checks or whatever, like a celebratory dance. When someone says, I forgot what he was talking, I don't remember what Scoots was talking about, but I barely listened. That's it. That's peak me. So that's what the intro eases you into bedtime. Then there's business between the intro and the story. That's where companies want their business. That's like the way podcast structure works. So, and that business enables the podcast to be here for you for free versus being behind a paywall. And then there's a story. Tonight it'll be our episodically modular story, which finally has a title that I probably forgot. Journey into the Land of Tomorrow, I think it's called. I think that was episode 3 or 4 that it took to get a. But in the, you'll know it'll be called that even when you get when you start listening. So. Oh, so there'll be the story, and the story will go like 45, 50 minutes. I think yesterday when I recorded it, it was like around 52 or 53 minutes. So, yeah. So there's the story. Maybe it was longer than that. I don't remember anymore. But then there's thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. And the last thing I want you to know is the reason I make the show is because I've been there. I've been there tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting sleep, trouble staying asleep, waking up. Like last night I was playing like a theme park management video game, and I knew I shouldn't play it. Like even 2 hours before bedtime, I shouldn't be playing any video games. And I just wanted, I said, okay, just going to get a 30-minute this tutorial. It's a game my daughter plays. It's not Roller Coaster Tycoon. But that, you know, that's number one in my heart. and I have the old version on my phone. But so it's another game my daughter likes. So she said, Dad, just do the tutorials, okay? So I said, okay, well, I'll try to do one. And I said, I want to be done by 9:30, which didn't give me 2 hours, so I was already pushing my luck. But then it was like 10 o'clock before I shut the console off. And that didn't work because it just stayed latent by like, that in my mind, my subconscious was still playing the video game. I don't know if that happens to anybody else or other stuff. And it messed up my sleep. I'm just being honest. Like I slept because my brain, I said, well, I'm not playing a video game and I don't care where the slushy stand goes. And it's like, it wasn't stressing me out when I was playing the game. So I've been there. That's what I'm trying to say. And I know how it feels. That situation or a lot of other ones. I know sometimes it can feel lonely, painful, exhausting, frustrating, and a lot of other feelings I've had. And if I can help with that, of course it would be my honor. It would really like make me feel good to help you since I've experienced that. And I can sympathize with like wanting some help. So I hope this podcast can work for you there. The other reason is, and it goes along with that, you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you can rest. You deserve an opportunity to live a fuller life or, you know, manage, have things feel a little bit more manageable when you're rested and all the other benefits that come along with that. So if I can help you on the road to that with other, you know, setting up a bedtime routine and having sleep with me be a part of it. And like some listeners graduate from listening to the show. Some people it becomes a part of their routine. Other people they move on. That's great either way. Because you deserve it and our world will be a better place when you're rested because your world's better. Your life's better. And you deserve that. Those are the reasons I make the show. Also, because I love going, like I said, wait a second, I haven't even fully explored my relationship with imitation strawberry or translucent blankets, but yeah. And in the end, I'm glad you're here. I hope you give the show a few tries because it's free to see if it can help you. I appreciate you coming by. I work really hard at Your Nice Drive, and here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring you this show for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, Scoots here, and this is our episodically modular. You could say it's serialized, but you don't need to because you can listen to it in any order. That's what episodically modular means. But it has a touch of a seriality to add some cohesion to the incoherent parts. So this is our new series. I think we kind of I'll let Antonio Banderas select out of the list of possible titles. He's nodding, but yeah, and then we'll catch up after Antonio goes. The characters are going to reset everything you need to know. So if this is your first episode listening, don't worry. We're going to catch you up on everything. But we're going to be listening into a live play of some characters playing a role-playing game. And I do want to tell you about another podcast called The Broadswords, which is it's called Actual Play. Actually, I think I misspoke, but it's an Actual Play, a D&D podcast, all women and non-binary players, and absolutely amazing. I met them a couple years ago at a convention, and that's at thebroadswords.com. That's broad, B-R-O-A-D, S-D-W, swords, S-D-W, S-D-W, no, S-W-O-R-D-S, thebroadswords.com, or right in your podcast app you're listening to right now. And now, without further ado, Mr. Antonio Banderas, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, role players, this is a role I'm happy to be playing as I introduce you to the world of a game. Scooter, I should have written that, what I was going to say. But join us on this, the journey into the land of tomorrow. Yeah. Thanks, Antonio. Thanks for that title. I like that one. I mean, that was like out of the list I provided you. Scooter, I never claimed I wrote the title. You own the title, though, the way you just owned it by saying it, though. So thanks, everybody. And this is the journey into the land of tomorrow. Okay, well, I feel like I'm in a position where, I mean, what do I do if people, like, we're supposed to start on time and I don't want to get, hi. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm late. We're here though. It's good to see you. Thank you, everyone. Okay, Lord Von Chill, I hate to put you in a position of awkward position. Oh, it's Granada's fault, actually. I apologize. The Granada was miscalculated the load I was having Granada carry. Okay, well, this is the first time we've had a late arrival, so I just want to be, as Dungeon Master, be clear of the expectations is we start at the time, allotted time, and as I said in the emails, like, that means being here, just like at work, being here about, well, no, I'm here on time. I apologize, and it won't happen again. Okay, but if it does happen again, there will come with a penalty for your character or characters. But you do get one late pass, which you just used for Lord Von Chill, but Granada still has a late pass. Okay, could you just take it and set everything up for you and your adventurers of where we are and what's happening? More than happy to. Again, I'll be professional. My name is Lord Von Chill. I'm a warrior. So, yes, I am of noble birth, and I'm here with my assistant Granada, my hired assistant Granada. Nimble of fingers and dexterous, you know, former. You know, we don't really talk about backstory a lot because it's assumed, and we don't really have a time allotted for that either. But did you know that in my manor house is how I met Granada? People think that, you know, I sleep lightly because I hear everything. And one of my hobbies in the past was to leave a lot of light shining out. I have the staff do that, have the staff hide. So they do help alert me. And then I leave the manor door open or a window open. And then I'll go into the town or a nearby town and tell, if you heard the legend of the Golden Cup, there's this buffoon out there, the Von Chills, and then I'll wait for them to sneak in. Now, Granada had snuck in, not the first, but the last thus far. And Granada snuck back out Well, it's funny. Long story. I can see the way you're staring at me, all of you, that you want me to get to the point. I thought I caught Granada, but then Granada was gone. And then I went back to go to bed, and who was in my bed but Granada of Darmok? And Granada said, it'll cost you the golden cup to get me out of your bed. And I said, well, on guard. And Granada said, oh, I'm feeling... But remember, Granada said, I'm feeling an overwhelming urge let nature take its course in your bed. And I said, you'll be sorry, Granada. And Granada said, no, I'll be relieved. And then I'm very dexterous, and then I'll escape. Or you could, and then I said, wow, how about this? I'm about to head out on an adventure. That was a segue. And I could use someone, and we negotiated a price. Of course, that took a while, and I felt like still not happy with the arrangement. But Granada also needed something more than money from me. But so I said, I'm headed to an adventure. And Granada said, what kind of adventure? And I said, well, it's interesting. We had a rogue scheduled that I know will drop out, even though... He says he's my best friend. He didn't like that, once upon a time, him and Zell used to be years ago in a relationship. He said he was going to be the rogue for our adventure, and he changed his mind after we started the adventure, technically, Granada. But I'm back home in the manor to make this story make sense. And... So I said, I'm heading on an adventure. And Granada said, where? And I said, have you heard of this theme park? And Granada said, no. And I said, it's in a place once known as flowery lore or something. And Granada said, okay. And I said, I've been tasked to join some other adventurers that I don't know very well. And I heard we're going to have our healer drop out too. But the Great Council of Wizards, I think they're called, or something, they suspect that there's powerful magic at work there, and the evil forces pursue it. And they have a lead on where this magic portal might be. They need a hero. Leading a band of adventurers to close this portal and to shut it, to keep the world safe, save the world. The world may never know the great acts, and now, one day, there'll be statues of the hero that led the adventurers there. So that's where I'm headed, and you'll join me. And Granada said, I will. And we headed to the land floor. And that's where we met first Zell. Zell, an amazing fighter and warrior, powerful, beautiful, generous, kind, intelligent, so many things, so many, reliable, though, in on an adventure. Like a person that has strong feelings about issues, including the ruling class, but calls me a landed gentry sometimes. I'm not sure I like that. Granada, you're laughing. But Zell, a fighter, we also met our Eleanor, our healer, from the three floor, Florentian nursing healer. Eleanor is also, we've discovered, quite good in the heat of battle. And we haven't even had any healing needed to be done. But I'm sure, also an interesting belief system, as explained to me, believes in hedonism and healing are two sides of the same coin, which I said, I have thought this. I said, tell me more about this. Anyway, Zell's staring at me now. And so that's our healer, Eleanor. And then we have our wizard, M. Watt, hired a young acolyte from the Wizard Council of Wizards, probably reporting on us, probably has secret knowledge, and very quiet. Also a non-player, an NPC run by the DM, but a full-fledged character at the same time, because, you know, people that dropped out of the game who didn't like Zell and I's personalities, and the fact that, you know, Zell and I, anyway, that's not important. We're not in a relationship within this adventure. So we went head down to this theme park, once a great place for vacations in the old, old world, before time, where families would go and they would stroll this main town street where we were able to get some supplies. And then we snuck in to the Land of Tomorrow, a part of the park dedicated to the land of people's visions of the Land of Tomorrow. Rides and pavilions and shows, each showcasing different ideas of what tomorrow would be like. And the first place we headed, we camped in the awnings of, I forgot, the Intergalactic Transporter Adventure, or whatever it's called. And we headed in there, and we met a somewhat sentient character from the ride, probably because of the magic, I think Emwada said. A guardian. Oh, no, this was given magical power to guard this area because it was where the wizards camped. Didn't do a great job. I guess it did a great job of not letting anybody enter this door. And the guardian gave us a task. Clear the restrooms out of plush platers, plush gator. And seal the restrooms, which I guess we forgot to do. So we'll have to go back and do that. We cleared out the restrooms. We found a flashlight, a wind-up flashlight, a hand-wound one, and a couple of healing potions. None of us were injured. The teamwork was top-notch. And then we headed towards the two rooms where the ride was. Oh, sorry, Gazelle. Not a ride, an attraction, a show about transportation. Oh, also, the show was a satire or something of corporate greed. Gone out of control. That was the ride part, I guess, the traction. So then the guardian unlocked the doors. One was labeled C for camp of the wizards and L for laboratory. We went into the laboratory where I heard at the door metal clicking. We opened the door and arranged ourselves. And we saw hopping around the room a small humanoid, a plush bot with a beak, looks like a 3 feet tall. See, I have good notes, and also I can read the other, I can read upside down. It was jumping around the room. Also, there was the laboratory was destroyed, as far as we could tell, and the wizards had gone away to the big sky. And then something else brought her up on the catwalk in the center of the room next to the old fake transporter caught our attention. And then we had to take a break, which was, which I understand. So DM, please take it from there. Thank you, Lord Von Chill. So you stand, just past the entrance in a circular room, that's an amphitheater with stairs and seating going down to the floor. In the center of the floor was once a laboratory that's been destroyed. And hopping on the chairs, coming closer to you is the small humanoid, which we'll call Skippy. Because there's a poster, actually, that's still there that you could see. That says, travel with Skippy across the universe safely, 100% safe travel with Skippy. Skipping from transporter to transporter by Transcon or whatever, BlackRock, or I don't know. But so the poster, you know, that your character's name is Skippy. And then you turn and you see, yeah, where the there's a wreckage of a transporter. And then up above on the catwalk is a giant, it's based on an archetypal vision from a few different movies. They would have called it an alien. It's like a partially, it's got exo stuff. It's a very big and very, you'd say, okay, this is going to be quite a battle. And it's kind of making noise and hissing, and it's got a long tail, big head. Definitely, it's got arms. This is Eleanor. Is there anything else we could see before, within the seconds? Can I roll? You can, Eleanor. And you do and we agreed, Lord Von Chill, before you got here, that I try to be a little bit, because, it takes me some adventures to work into my role as a dungeon master. So I'm going to try to work the numbers into the narration too. Like a sweet 16 party, Eleanor realizes that, clarifying question, would that be with the number you're going to give is with the bonuses included? Yes, great question. Eleanor notices that there's something attached to the back of this being up there on the catwalk. And while it does look very, very, very powerful, it seems that it's trying to free itself, part of its controls or something, it's attached. You don't really know more, but we could infer that we can use... that we should split up. Some of us should focus on Skippy, and some of us should focus our distance, the most powerful distance. Yes, I agree, Eleanor, I agree. Zell, what were you going to say? What if you and I and Granada focus our up there at that creature thing? Wada and Eleanor, what if you focus your hand-to-hand on Skippy? So, that sounds good. Okay, and as you arrange, you realize that this is how the it's going to play out. This is the Dungeon Master. So Zell, you seem to be quickest. Then Granada, then... The creature on the catwalk, we'll call it. Then Wata, then Skippy, then Von Chill, and then Eleanor, based on your speed and your dexterity. And so, Zell, I'll be firing, I'll be using my longbow. Okay, so Zell, you fire, and one of your arrows goes right into the shoulder of the catwalk being, and deals a 9. Wow. And Granada, you fire from your short bow and you miss. I thought I was using a hand axe. Okay, you still miss though. Okay. Now for the catwalks being, just to be clear, the catwalk is going to roll right now on this part. The catwalk being is catwalk's going to roll twice. Once to see if it can free itself, it's going to pull at the stuff behind it, attaching it to the control, whatever, the old parts of the attraction, not ride. If it doesn't do that, if it isn't able to free itself, it's going to grab a part of the catwalk and or equipment around it and try to rip it out and throw it at all of you. Because it does have, and you could see where that it successfully did that with one of the wizards. Oh boy, that wizard is, yes. So this was 10 and an 8, and not successful to get a catwalk being a date with destiny right now. Imwata swings a short sword at Skippy, catches Skippy right across the belly, ripping some of the fabric and some, what do you call those, like cogs fallouts as 8 of damage are dealt to Skippy. And Skippy jumps back towards Wada with a beak, but misses. Lord Von Chill, you, yes, I throw, I'm going to throw in a javelin. Yeah, and you whip your javelin, or toss it. Wow. It, it's almost on target. It does hit one of the legs of the catwalk being, dealing a little bit of, four levels of, you know, four of damage. And Eleanor, yeah, I'm going to use my warhammer. Yeah, Eleanor, you swing at Skippy, but Skippy's just too fast. It jumps out of your way. So we really got that catwalk being good, huh? Maybe 25% good. Oh, wow. Can you give me specific? Yeah, it went from 39 to 26. Okay, thank you. So Zell's up. Zell, you, your arrow goes right by the catwalk being. Granada, your hand axe goes right by. The catwalk being tries to rip out. It's like rip away from the cords holding it, but it's unsuccessful. And then it grabs the transporter, the broken top of the transporter. Successfully rips it off of the transporter, throws it at Lord Von Chill, and it lands on Lord Von Chill. You can see the right there, that's the roll, and does quite a bit of Lord Von Chill is thrown to the ground, and quite a bit down 15. Oh boy, down 15. Mwata does successfully, again, slash across Skippy. More cogs come out, and even some sort of whirring thing. Skippy goes after Mwata again, misses. Can I, still, am I conscious? You are. Okay, can I try? Oh, wow. Could I try to use it to throw a javelin and get up and throw a javelin? You, okay, let's see. Okay, wow. Yeah, so you do. You're able to get up and you do another, your javelin again just hits it in the other leg, another javelin, and four of damage. Eleanor misses Skippy. And the alien's close to the whatever, it's close to 50%. Skippy's really is down below 10. Von Chill, you're down to 2, so you better be careful. Okay, can I move, since I'm using, can I move to the doorway? Is everyone okay with that? Yeah, move behind us where you're safe. Thank you, Zell. I don't need to be healed. I don't think, I think we just keep going because this is, I can always run or something. Is everybody okay with that? Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so, Zell, wow, Zell, what a shot, 18 level shot, and you do 1 plus 3 of damage. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And Granada, you somehow dig deep and you get you end up throwing 2 hand axes because of your roll, see? And one of them does 5 plus 3, one does 1 plus 3. So that's pretty good. And then the catwalk buddy one, so isn't able to pull itself free, but it does rip out the bottom part of the transporter and throws that at Zell, lands on Zell, really hard hit on Zell, 9 plus 3. Wow, this is, Zell, are you all right? I don't know. I mean, okay, Wata goes after Skippy, misses. Skippy goes back after Wata, misses. Von Chill, your javelin misses, and Eleanor, you miss as well on Skippy. Zell, you should move back to the back, further back, since you still have plenty of range with your longbow. Yeah, I'm going to move back too, but let's not stop. I think we're close, right, DM? You still, the alien is, both the creatures are teetering on, yeah, you're close, if your aim is true. Okay, and how's my aim? Your aim is true, you, strike it and, 1+3. So how much does it have left? 4. And then Granada, you miss. Now this roll, the creature does end up ripping the piping or whatever the cords attaching it to the attraction. But then it goes to throw something and it isn't able to rip it out. Okay, can we do just a, like so in the next round it'll be able to, it'll be probably jump down and be battling us, huh? Yeah, so we'll have to figure it out. But we have those healing potions, so we could use our turns. I can use mine to take it, and yeah. Okay, that's fine, but let's just keep going, huh? Yeah, Mwata goes and again gets Skippy 2+2, so Skippy's down to 3. Whirring and making some weird noises. Skippy goes after Mwata, misses again. Wow, Skippy's very ineffective as a battler. Yeah, but that, okay. So I throw my javelin. And your aim is true, and the catwalker it finally falls to the floor and breaks apart. And you see some oil and some metal stuff, and Wata notices the essence of some sort of magical essence floating away and says that out loud, magical essence floating away. And then Eleanor's aim is true, 19, 4+2. So Skippy, Eleanor lops, your hammer. So you you catch Skippy while Skippy has landed on the floor near you. But also you notice as the catwalk buddy fell to the ground, it knocked a pipe loose, which is kind of making some sort of s-ing sounds and stuff. Okay, should we take those, what do you call it, healing potions, or what should we do? This is Eleanor, why don't I cure wounds on Von Chill, and then we do the healing potions, and then I can cure wounds on Zell later. Okay, so you cure wounds, okay, so that's +4. Okay, and then we both take, each take a healing potion. Okay, and you get +6, and Zell gets +5. Okay, now could we roll to search? Start searching this for stuff. Yeah, you're not finding anything for the next little while, because you're not good roll. You're unsuccessful. I don't know, I think it's... you're tired from battle, which also sense that whatever that leaking is not good. But you do have a little bit of time because you're going to have, you know, the guardian says that maybe you should do something, but don't stop searching for what you're looking for. Oh, so what if we go and, how long would it take us at that time to go and seal off the restrooms? We could rip off, you know, the stalls, we could use them and hammer them into the doors so that they're never accessible again. Okay, so you go and you seal off both restrooms. That takes a while. Then you go back to the room, search. Smells stronger in there. And at this point, yeah, Eleanor realizes that, clearly the smell is strong and not safe for anyone. So we have to hurry. Thanks, Eleanor. That's great. And then you start searching again, and Granada is the one who says, wait a second, check the insides of the, these two beings, someone check the catwalk and, this beak, and Skippy's hands have, wizard's robes on them. And Granada rips open Skippy and starts going through. And finds actually caught in the top of Skippy's beak a piece of scrap of paper. And reads it, and it says, talk to the genie. Okay, talk to the genie. I found something in the scrap of paper that says talk to the genie. Anyone know, do we know what it means? Anybody? Or am I racking my brain? We're all looking at one another. Apparently you don't know what it means, I guess. There's the dungeon master. I can point that out. But we know, it's Granada. I'm just wondering, we know this is important. There's something about it. And Watts actually takes it from you, looks at the paper and identifies, this is written in the hand of, Frufran. One of the wizards I recognize here, and I would say we should take time to give these, proper respects, but according, Eleanor said that it's leaking, but this is an important clue left for us, or something one of the wizards, Frufrau, was keeping, but I'm not sure what we should do next. Does anyone have any ideas? Yeah, this is Zell. I think we should go and search the, we could talk to the guardian, but let's go search the camp or whatever. It's right across the hall, right? It is right across the hall. So you open the door and you cross the hall. Wait, before we open the door, we didn't say that actually, Dungeon Master. Can we run healing and then listen at the door? Yeah, you get healed by Granada. Eleanor heals Zell for 4 more. And you listen at the door. You hear some wind, but that's about it. And you definitely, Eleanor says, we have to hurry. Otherwise, we're going to start having to do rolls. There's something about whatever that thing ripped open that is not good to breathe in. Oh, boy. So that means we're not going to be able to rest. Okay, so we go into the room, and we start, what do we find? So we listen at the door, we hear wind, so we go in. Okay, thanks, Lord Vanchel. Yeah, you go into the camp, and the first thing you notice is that the roof, it's ripped open. This one, at least, the Skippy and the catwalk buddy, you don't see them, you don't hear them. You look in the catwalk, and most of the stuff up there had been removed. And you see ropes coming in down from the ceiling, and you notice that it's been recent, according to this great roll you had. Someone's been here. Is searching the camp. The camp's ransacked, the wizard's camp. There's cots set up, typical stuff, cooking stuff, pots, bedrolls. So, very standard. Okay, this is Zell here. So we could search this room. We're looking for anything about this genie, okay, everybody? But also, we're not able to stay here because of whatever's leaking in the other room. Correct. So you start searching, and you're searching, and you're not finding anything. But there may be other like on your search, you didn't find anything because you used the investigation. So you didn't find anything when you were searching with investigation skills or characters. So maybe like some consensus brainstorming. Okay, well, that was a pretty big hint. Mwata, you work for the Dungeon Master, so you can't really brainstorm with us. Eleanor Zell, what do you think? Okay, well, this is Zell thinking, and so it's something not hidden because we searched successfully and we didn't find anything. So it's not hidden. It's something in plain sight. And the talk to the genie either means there's someone here named the genie or something's hidden. So we got to look around. It's got to be like something in the park, like a genie in a bottle, or a genie like some sort of plush or something. So maybe I have some knowledge of the history of the park, that I got to think about by rolling this. Yep. Oh, wow. So, yeah, Zell, you really rack your brain for the history of this theme park. And you remember that these theme parks always had maps and stuff. And you start to look at the walls and you realize that out of place on the wall of the camp, there was some, there was a wizard's procedure map. There was a note somebody put up about keeping your bed area clean. Cleaning your pots after you use it cooking. And then there's a map of the land of tomorrow. Now, it's someone splashed grease on it when they were cooking because it's near the cooking area. But you do see, so you see the entrance from what's called the Hub of Fantasy, which was the center of the park, and the path that leads into the land of tomorrow. Over the bridge of the dreams of the future, and the lagoon of but anyways, and then you see that you're on the left here. You see the what they called the Institute of Alien Technology, and there's presentations and there's a little bit of description of that attraction. You see one of the sets of the restrooms you were at, which actually is connected to another side of the park further away, an ice cream shop and a food place. But then you see across the path, directly on the other side of the path, and the bridge, the first attraction on your right if you're walking into the land tomorrow. It's called the Wonders of Steam. And you see the description, and you notice in there it says, this is one day only, which is kind of in tongue-in-cheek, the steam genie will introduce you to the wonders of steam and how it can change your life. Be a part of the future and learn more about the wonders of steam. Presentation, blah, blah, it does include fog effects, lasers, projections, animatronics, but fun for the whole family. Okay, so we should go for it then. We should go head over there, huh? Great job, Zell. Yeah, Eleanor notices and alerts your party that because as a nurse that we need to exit now. So you can't search or rest. Okay, we should let the guardian know about all this. So you head out, you stab at the guardian. The guardian says, "Hello, everyone. Thank you for securing those restrooms. What did you find?" Well, your guardianship, it looks like someone snuck wizards. I guess you kept this area secure. Very good job. But part of the, when was the last time you saw a wizard? It'd been a while, but I was here to guard against intruders. Intruders, yes. Yes, so there were some intruders already inside one of the You could see the halls, but I guess you couldn't. Anyway, so the wizards, most of the wizards have gone away for good, forever. But we took care of that as well. There's also some sort of leak in there, but you're not a human, or you don't have lungs, do you? No, I do not. Also, some other group snuck in through the roof and searched the camp. We're hoping they didn't find any information, but we're headed off. So keep up the great work keeping this area safe. Eleanor, could we rest in here? As a dungeon master, I can answer. Eleanor says, no, the leak is still. So we're going to go. Great seeing you. Can you seal these doors behind us, though, so that nothing leaks out? I can. I will use my final spell, actually. Since there's no wizards to protect, I will use my final spell and all the magic within me to seal these doors forever. Okay, because, I guess that works, right, everybody? Yeah. Okay. Thanks. We'll see you later. Thanks, Guardian. Goodbye, everyone. Okay, so you exit there, and now you're back on the, you're back facing the other side of the way is, so there's like a path, like kind of Main Street of the Land of Tomorrow. And you could see directly across from you, kind of like going all the way, is like an underhang. There's a track with like one of the transportation rides that ran through the Land of Tomorrow. You could kind of see the main sign for the Wonders of Steam. And you could kind of make out that the entrance is off to the right, and the exit is on the left there, but there's also like the queue. That's the entrance to the queue. Okay, I think we should. No. This is Granada of Dormak. I think we should observe for a minute and see. I don't know. My sense is we need to roll. Okay, go ahead. Oh, so you do. Granada of Dormak does notice. Doesn't have an idea. Sees some movement up above. The second and third story, because it's kind of like a steampunky type building. And it's actually made stylistically to kind of fit with this kind of futuristic deco look of this building, but in its own kind of Victorian steamy way. But you see some movement of something up there, inconsistent movement that you would associate with someone watching is the main entrance. Okay. Can I see their line of sight or anything? No. Okay, would there be a way, Granada of Dormak asking, could we go down to our right on this side if we stay low, stay close to the building, and then maybe either go under that bridge or sneak from the bridge and reassess when we get over there and maybe sneak across the path and try to find another back way into this building? I think you could sneak across on this side of the building and then reassess if your group thinks so. Okay, so we do. Yeah, what does everybody think? Is that okay? Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead? It would be easier if you go and scout it out stealthily. Yeah, I can do that. So I go to the edge of the bridge and I look again. And you look and you see, you definitely sense that this would be a good place to sneak across, that it's probably out of line of sight or whatever it is you saw earlier. Okay, so I go back and report that, and we sneak across the path, right where you said, which is, I guess, at the entrance, where you would come off the bridge. You crawl across the path, all of you, quietly and stealthily. And you're at the furthest part of the entrance to the queue of the Wonders of Steam. And there's an overhang, so you get under the overhang, and that's where you are right now. Okay, this is Eleanor. So we know that there's some sort of living or non-living being watching this. But we also know that the genie's inside, or we're supposed to see the genie. So maybe it's like hidden in the genie's eyes, or hidden behind a poster of a genie. So we have to get in here and search. Also, we're not at 100%. We know someone's watching in the entrance. Is there any back doors we could, like, look for on the right, like, keep going around the right side of the building away from the person watching? And at the same time, double check. Yeah, you could do that if you're okay. So we agree to do that. Yes, Zell. Yeah. Okay, so you successfully find a back door, like an employee door, and you listen at it, and you don't hear anything. Okay, and was the door open or closed? Or lock, can we, the door's locked. Granada? Okay, Granada of Darmok here. I will try to pick this lock. You successfully unlock the door, like, very quietly. You open it up, and it's kind of like a small room where I guess employees would sit. There's there's some old monitors that are broken that they maybe monitor the queue with. There's some old buttons and an old telephone for communicating. And then there's another door. Okay, can we all, is this room big enough for us to rest or hide in? No, the room barely fits all of you standing up. Okay, what is the door status? Can we open the door? Should we open the door? I think we should listen at the door first. Okay, you don't detect anything. Okay, can we open the door? Because that door was locked, this door opens very easily. It does open inward, so then you all have to back up. And then you open it, and actually then there's like a set of curtains blocking the door. And you could see to the right, you just see like an aisle. And to the left, you see the back... some seats, like for a theater, like that this is some sort of theater, and you kind of see that the room kind of circles around, but in the back, not that far to your left, is like the entrance and the exit doors. Okay, where are the entrance and exit doors? So it looks like one set of doors is there's a center aisle, I guess it's on the all the way to, yeah, there's a center aisle. So maybe that isn't the entrance. I don't know. But there's a bunch of doors, and then there's a bunch of doors on the bottom left side. Those are traditionally the exit doors. Okay. Yeah, usually they make people go in on the left. Should we peek around the curtain? Or what should we do? Should we just walk in the room? You could peek around the curtain, Von Chill. Okay, so I peek around the curtain. So you peek around the curtain and you notice, you're looking in a giant octagonal room, a theater. And it has, it's a theater built on a platform. So the seating actually spins around, like moves around. Back in the day, it would have moved around. And there's giant screens, and below the screens, there's like false doors, or hidden doors. You only notice that, like, they had paintings on them because a lot of the doors are open. A couple are closed. And then you notice at the front of the room is like this giant pedestal, and there's some spotlights. A couple of them are still on. And on the pedestal is like a blue robot who's waving at you. And you say, wait a second, that's Remus. And the, it says, hello, hello. And then you get something in the pit of your stomach and you notice to the right are two giant steam, like 20-foot high steam giants with top hats that look pretty powerful. And then you also notice like a bunch of other in various states of Victorian steam bots, not as giant as the steam giants, more of like, that must have been part of the ride. I could go into deeper discussions, but we're up against a time crunch now. So what are you going to do, Von Chill? Does everybody hear that? Somebody's calling us. A blue, I think it might be the genie. Are you the, should I, can I say, are you the genie, everybody? Go ahead. Hello, are you the genie? And the genie says, yes, yes, I am. And it's a familiar voice you would associate with the genie. It says, come right in. I've been waiting for all of you. It's so good to see you. Are you adventurers? Yes, we are. We're slow to approach, though, because you're giants and other beings, and but we're looking for the genie. Well, you found the genie, and I think I noticed that you've been through a lot. Why don't you rest here as my guests? We have the steam bots to protect us, the steam giants, and you'll be safe here. Make camp, and just trust me. I'm the steam genie. So what do we do, everybody? I don't trust the steam genie. Okay, but so we leave, or what if we just rest? If we ask the genie if we can rest on this side of the room in shifts, and we just take turns resting, three awake, two on. We start with Von Chill and I rest, and you three watch until we recover our hit points. And then you three rest. How's that sound? Yes, I'll explain. Genie, we kind of barely trust you. So is it okay if we rest here on this side of the room? And then we'll build trust as we get some rest. That's fine. Why don't you all rest, and we'll talk soon. In fact, why don't you all lie down, even though some of you are going to be watching over me. Get comfortable. Put out your bed rolls. The floor here was once, it's still carpeted. This room's been mostly preserved, comparatively, and my steam bots are here, and we just need a, we have a request for you. In exchange for the information you're looking for, because they know you're looking for something, because they told me you would come and you would help me. So rest and then know that you'll help me. If you don't, you know, I don't want to bat. I have steam giants, so we could get along or not. So rest and know that we should get along. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Okay, good night, good night, good night, good night, adventurers, good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Liz, Janet, and Catherine. Thanks, 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 good night. I want to thank S, David, and Mr. M. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Allison, Carl, and Margot. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Shannon, Terry, and Emily. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lisa, Emily, and Quinn. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Amanda, Nikki, and Emily. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Zeke, Heather, and Rachel. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Janae, Jamie, and Melissa. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Chloe, Travis, and Beverly. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Clinton, Julie, and Artemis. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Tamasha, E.H., and Adrian. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Clark, Marisol, and Kyle. Thank you. Thanks. And good night, Kate, Charlotte, and Greg. Thank you. Thanks. And good night, Ryan, Chris, and Kristen. Thank you. Thanks. And good night, Rudy, Ariel, and Rebecca. Thanks. And good night, Hein Peter, Adam, and Pascal. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. I couldn't do it without listeners like you. Sleeping Beauty Here is a free podcast because of people that support the show directly on Patreon or support, you know, our Sleep Phones merch store or support the sponsors. So I really appreciate that. That's how. And then we grow as a show by people spreading the word. You don't even have to spread the word about Sleep With Me. You could just spread the word about podcasts in general and show people, you know, on Zoom or wherever you are when you're listening to this episode, say, hey, here's how to subscribe to the podcast. Let me show you right here. This is some podcasts. This is a podcast app I use. This is the podcast. Oh, well, that's the podcast app on your phone. That's how you find the stuff. Let me show you how to set a sleep timer. And if you don't know how to do this, if you just go to YouTube or Google, the best place to say, how to set a sleep timer on Frazzle app or whatever. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, and good night.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word, This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.